brings us to God's word this morning. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. That brings us to Colossians chapter 1 today. So let's turn there, page 833, if you're using the church Bible. Paul's letter to the believers in Colossae, a city in western Turkey, as we continue our series on the peace of forgiveness. Last week, we explored the experience of God's forgiveness. That we experience God's forgiveness as rescue from darkness, reconciliation with God, and cancellation of our debt, all through the work of Christ on the cross. Today, we want to move on from experiencing God's forgiveness to enjoying God's forgiveness. And we will reference Colossians and Hebrews to discover what God's word has to say about that. Let's pause to pray before we dig into God's word. Lord, we do praise you and thank you that you paid it all, O Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we would experience your word in action in our hearts, in our souls, in our very conscience, reminding us that you paid it all and the implications which that has for our lives by your work on the cross. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I know God forgives me, but I can't forgive myself. You see, it's possible to be so gripped by feelings of guilt for sins that we've long confessed. We can be shackled by a sense of shame from wrongdoing from which we've repented. And we've buried that sin at the foot of the cross. And yet, like a ghost, it rises up to haunt us, rattling its chains of shame, moaning its groaning of accusing guilt. I know God forgives me, but I can't forgive myself. If we don't forgive ourselves, then our feelings of guilt, our sense of shame, our awareness of that sin that we long ago confessed, barricade us from enjoying God's forgiveness. And if we're not enjoying God's forgiveness, well, then we're not enjoying God himself. And so then how can we cut off that wagging finger of guilt over a sin already confessed? How can we silence the screams of shame over wrongdoing from which we've repented? How can we forgive ourselves? We're going to begin to answer that question from two chapters of Scripture and two separate letters. Chapter 1 of Colossians, chapter 9 of Hebrews. As we turn to chapter 1 of Colossians, we'll discover that we can forgive ourselves by seeing ourselves as God sees us. We explored Colossians last week when we learned about experiencing God's forgiveness. Now, let's come again to learn about enjoying God's forgiveness. Colossians 1, 21 through 23. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you as holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. And so we were alienated from God by our waywardness, but Christ has reconciled us to God by his woundedness. We were alienated from God by our waywardness. We see that in verse 21 of Colossians 1. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. In other words, in our waywardness, we sinned by inimical thoughts toward God and by our evil behavior against God. And by this waywardness, we incurred guilt and shame because of our sin. Guilt is the objective state of having sinned, and it can lead to guilt feelings. Shame is the subjective emotional pain that guilt causes. It makes us want to hide from God, as Adam and Eve hid from God. So once we were alienated from God by our sin and our guilt and our shame, we were alienated from God by our waywardness. And that bad news paves the way for the good news. And the good news is that Christ reconciled us to God by his woundedness. So although we were alienated from God by our waywardness, Christ has reconciled us to God by his woundedness. Verse 22, but now he, God, has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death. So Christ hung on the cross, wounded, nails piercing his hands and his feet, even unto death. And by his wounds we are healed. By the cross of Christ we are healed of our alienation from God, so that now we are reconciled to God. For on the cross Christ took upon himself our sin and our guilt and our shame. On the cross, Christ bore the wrath of God against our sin and our place. On the cross, Christ satisfied the justice of God by bearing the penalty of our guilt in our place, that penalty of death and separation from God. And by the shame of the cross, Christ took our shame upon himself. And in God's love, in God's grace and God's mercy, Christ took away our sin, our guilt, and shame as he absorbed our sin, guilt, and shame into himself and took it away. Consequently, there's nothing to stand between us and God. We're no longer alienated from God because our sin and guilt and shame were taken away at the cross. And so Christ reconciled us to God by his woundedness, his death on the cross, that took away everything that had alienated us from God before. And so the question then becomes, since Christ reconciled us to God by his woundedness, how does God see us? When God looks at you, how does God see you? Colossians 1:22. But now he, God, has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. So how does God see you and me now that Christ has reconciled us to God by his physical body through death? God sees us as holy, holy in his sight. The cross removes our sin from God's sight. And so now God sees us through rose-colored glasses. Do you know that? God sees you through rose-colored glasses. Glasses colored by the blood of Christ. And so now we're holy in His sight. By the cross we are holy. Word holy means set apart. We are set apart from sin for God. Sin free. And then God sees you and me as without blemish. When God looks through our body into our soul, He sees a pure, unblemished soul. Not a single pimple of sin. Not a single scar of guilt. Without blemish. And when God looks into our soul, the only birthmark that He sees is the mark of the new birth by the Holy Spirit through faith in Christ. Unblemished. Because of the cross. Shame free. And then, when God looks at you and me, who have faith in Christ, He sees us as free from accusation. The cross removes our guilt from God's sight. We're holy in God's sight. The cross removes our sin. We are without blemish in God's sight. The cross removes our guilt. And now free from accusation. The cross removes our shame as well as our guilt. The nails of the cross cut off the wagging finger of guilt. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Who shall bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ Jesus who died and rose again and is at the right hand of God making intercession for us. By the cross, we're free from accusation, guilt free. So then, since Christ reconciled us to God by His woundedness, how does God see us? God sees us as sin free. God sees us as shame free. God sees us as guilt free. Sin free because He sees us as holy. Shame free because He sees us without blemish. And guilt free because He sees us as free from accusation. If, as verse 23 says, we have faith in Christ, who's done all this for us. And so if we are believers in Christ, trusting in the work that Christ has done on the cross, then let's see ourselves as God sees us. Let's see ourselves as sin-free, shame-free, and guilt-free, because that's how the judge of all the earth sees those who have faith in Jesus. For by faith we are in Christ. We are in Christ. Christ has no sin, so we have no sin. Christ has no guilt, so we have no guilt. Christ has no shame, so we have no shame because we are in Christ. And that's how we can forgive ourselves as God forgives us. We can forgive ourselves as God forgives us. When we see ourselves as God sees us, to forgive yourself as God forgives you, begin to see yourself as God sees you. Holy, without blemish, free from accusation, sin-free, shame-free, guilt-free. I know God forgives me, but I can't forgive myself. If those words are your words, then take a pilgrimage to that place where Jesus paid it all, the cross. Survey the wondrous cross. Camp out at the foot of the cross. Marvel at the cross. See at the cross your sin taken away by the blood of Christ so that God sees you as holy. See your shame taken away as Christ bore your shame in your place so that God sees you as without blemish. See your guilt taken away as Christ took your guilt upon himself, so that now God sees you as free from accusation. And see yourself as God sees you. See yourself as God sees you. Holy, without blemish, free from accusation, sin-free, shame-free, guilt-free. Free to forgive yourself as God has forgiven you. So how is it that we can forgive ourselves? By seeing ourselves as God sees us. As we move from Colossians 1 to Hebrews 9, we see furthermore that we can forgive ourselves by seeing ourselves as cleansed by the blood of Christ. Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 through 14, page 850 if you're using the church Bible. In this section of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews is showing the superiority of Christ's sacrifice to the Old Testament animal sacrifices. We read, "The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean." But only outwardly clean, not inwardly clean. For that we need the cross. And that's the next verse. "How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences." Cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. And so the blood of Jesus shed on the cross cleanses us to the very core of our being, even cleansing our conscience, that accusing conscience, that conscience that makes it so hard to forgive yourself. The blood of Christ cleanses that conscience, so that that conscience has no more power of accusation. Matt Chandler is a pastor in Texas, and he was speaking at a men's conference near the town where he grew up. And he writes, "When I was done preaching, I decided to hop in my car and drive 20 minutes to the town in which I grew up and look at the houses that I remembered from back then. As I drove into town, I passed a field where I had once gotten into a fist fight with a kid named Sean. It was not a fair fight, and I did some shady, dark things in that fight. I completely humiliated him in front of a large crowd of people. Then I drove past my first house, and I thought, all the wicked things that I had done in that house. I passed a friend's house where once at a party I did some of the most shameful, horrific things that I've ever done. Afterward, on the drive back to the conference, I was overwhelmed with the guilt and shame of the wickedness that I had done in that city prior to knowing Jesus Christ. I could hear the whispers in my heart, the accusations of conscience. You call yourself a man of God? Are you going to stand in front of all these guys and tell them to be men of God after all you've done? In the middle of all that guilt and shame, I began to be reminded by the scriptures that the old Matt Chandler is dead. The Matt Chandler who did these things. The Matt Chandler who sinned in those ways was nailed to that cross with Jesus Christ. And all his sins, past, present, and future, were paid for in full on the cross of Christ. I have been made holy. I've been made holy once and for all. He remembers my sins no more. And I no longer need to feel shame for these things, because they've been completely atoned for. Completely atoned for. I no longer need to feel shame for those things, because these things have been completely atoned for. That's the grace of a conscience cleansed by the blood of Christ. That's the freedom from shame enjoyed by the conscience that's been cleansed by the blood of Christ. What a grace! What an amazing grace. And you can know this very same grace. For no matter what sins you've committed, no matter what shameful things you've done or thought or said, no matter what guilt has weighed down upon your heart, all your sin, all your guilt, all your shame were nailed to the cross with Christ Jesus and have been completely atoned for. Completely atoned for. In full. Because the blood of Christ cleanses our conscience. And so we can forgive ourselves by seeing ourselves as cleansed by the blood of Christ, even to the cleansing of our conscience that wants to rise up and accuse us of some sin that we've long since confessed. We all know it. We've all felt it. We've all thought it. Like dandelions out of control, that guilty conscience can keep sprouting up time and time and time again all over the place to condemn us. Now, I need to add a little nuance here. When conscience rises up against a sin that we are presently committing, then we need to listen and we need to repent. God gave us our conscience, and our conscience can be helpful when it is in step with the Spirit and shaped by the Word. And so the Holy Spirit speaks the Word of God to a listening conscience in order to bring us to repentance from a sin that we are presently committing. But when conscience sprouts up like dandelions to condemn us over a past sin from which we've already repented, that's when we need to remember that the blood of Christ cleanses our conscience, cleanses away that accusation, so that we can forgive ourselves. So, when a guilty conscience sprouts up like dandelions over a sin you've long since confessed and repented from, our faith must spray our conscience with the blood of Christ. Put the blood of Christ in the bottle of your faith and spray that conscience. And so faith says to conscience, imagine a conversation between faith and conscience. Faith says to conscience, conscience, how many of my sins does the blood of Christ cover? Well, conscience has to reply, well, I suppose all. Conscience, how much of sin's penalty does the blood of Christ pay for? Well, I suppose the full penalty. Then conscience, all of this sin is paid in full. So conscience, you are trespassing on the property of the cross. Get out of here. When your conscience accuses you over some sin from which you've repented, some sin that you've confessed, but you just can't seem to get it out of your mind, and it crops up like dandelions, and the conscience wags its finger, how could you call yourself a Christian and do that? Don't listen to that voice of accusation. It's the enemy who's the accuser. Our conscience can be open to the Word of God, sanctifying our conscience by the Holy Spirit. And our conscience can also be opened to the voice of the accuser. Learn the difference between the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the accusation of the enemy. When your conscience accuses you so that you cannot forgive yourself, then bring your conscience under the blood of Christ for a good, total soaking. We can forgive ourselves by seeing ourselves as cleansed by the blood of Christ. We can forgive ourselves by putting our faith in the sufficiency of Christ's suffering on the cross to pay the full penalty of all of our sin, and the sufficiency of Christ's blood on the cross to wash away all of our sin. He paid it all. What amazing grace. And so then, how can we forgive ourselves? By seeing ourselves as God sees us. How does God see us? Holy. Without blemish. Free from accusation. For he's reconciled us to himself by Christ's physical body through death. How can we forgive ourselves? By seeing ourselves as cleansed by the blood of Christ. For the blood of Christ cleanses us through and through, even to the depths of our conscience. To sum it all up, we can forgive ourselves by wrapping ourselves in the enormity of God's forgiveness at the cross. At the cross, Christ takes away our sin so that God sees us as holy. At the cross, Christ takes away our shame so that God sees us without blemish. At the cross, Christ takes away our guilt so that God sees us as free from accusation. At the cross, the blood of Christ cleanses us through and through and through and through, even to the cleansing of our conscience. So that conscience has no more power to accuse us, no more power to condemn us. For the accusing conscience has no right to trespass on the property of the cross. And that's the enormity of God's forgiveness at the cross. And wrapped in the enormity of God's forgiveness, we can forgive ourselves. Learn the difference between the convicting voice of the enemy, rather the accusing voice of the enemy. Learn the difference between the accusing voice of the enemy that wants to condemn and the convicting voice of the Holy Spirit that draws us to repentance. John Newton was a man who wrapped himself in the enormity of God's forgiveness. He had been a slave trader. A slave trader with a profane mouth, filled with sin and shame and guilt. But then he put his faith in Christ. And he learned to forgive himself of his slave trading, of his sin and guilt and shame and all the terrible things he had done, because he wrapped himself in the enormity of God's forgiveness at the cross. And thereby he could enjoy God's forgiveness. And he could sing the praises of God's amazing grace.